The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
But do you see why this makes people think that this man who has all this power, he's the world's richest man, he thinks he has a right to influence our politics? It makes people, it's why, you know, we started this conversation saying superlatives. It's why people loathe you. I mean, some people do loathe you.
Yes, some people do.
But
I
do you understand why? Do you think what you're doing is helpful for Western democracy?
Maybe some people do loathe me. And that's probably true. I don't care. But the fact that, as you pointed out, a 250 million people follow me is that I think a lot more people actually like me than don't. And I think a lot more people hate you and the media more than you realize.
Wow. We need more of that in the discourse. There's Elon Musk. What's so funny about this interview, I think it's with The Economist, the woman over and again says, now you have 250 million followers on X. You have this huge, this massive following. Can you explain to me why people loathe you? And he says, I don't think they loathe me. I think they loathe you. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show, the final show of the week. Hard to believe. You can get to the live video stream of this program at our website, thetrumpet.com, or the Rumble channel, or the YouTube channel, or all of your favorite podcast platforms. You can download it later and listen after the fact if you like. A little bit of an easier show today because we've got quite a lot of video lined up. We've got some feedback from one of the Celtic Throne shows this past tour that we haven't gotten to yet. We've also got the World Watch for today's episode. And then we wanted to finish the two-part series on true education. My father gave these two lectures. I believe the second part is at the camp in the U.S. Yesterday, if you saw the end of the program, you saw him speaking in Australia back in 1999. And so we'll get part two of that series in the second half of today's show. There was a story in the news stack. I didn't even put it in my notes initially, but then the more I was thinking about the Elon Musk interview, the more I thought about this show, the lawsuit in the UK. It's not The Economist, but it's the BBC, as they're desperately trying to prove that Donald Trump incited the insurrection of January 6th. And if you remember the backstory to this, they spliced all of the video together. They selectively edited it, his speech at the Ellipse on January 6th, to make it sound like he was telling the crowd to go and cause violence at the Capitol. And of course, Trump's people came out and said, we're going to sue you because you're lying. You're deceitfully editing the story. You're not telling the true history of what happened there. That's the BBC. That's like the national media platform for the UK. And then here comes this smug reporter from The Economist saying, you know, why do people loathe you? People don't loathe me, says Elon Musk. You do. You loathe me. You hate me. You gotta put it right back at him. And he's courageous enough to do it. Now, listen, I know the world is big enough for, you know, half the people to absolutely love you and adore you and the other half to absolutely despise you and hate you. Donald Trump is perhaps the best example of that. But here is this, and it's not like everything Elon Musk says is spot on. I understand that. But here he's this multi-billionaire, the richest man in the world. And he's had such a a powerful impact on the world as we know it today. Not all for the best, I know. But here's this woman. And over and again in this interview, now you've got 250 million people following you. Why do people hate you? It's comical. It's comical. Here's a bit more from his exchange with The Economist, clip 9.
And I think a lot more people hate you and the media more than you realize. Do you realize the media is despised? Do you realize that journalists, how the view of journalists is like, it's like a favorable view of journalists is like 15%.
Yeah, I do know that. In the United States.
So the shoe is on the other foot. They hate you. They hate you far more than they hate me.
I think there is certainly a loss of trust in journalism. I think in part there have been mistakes by journalists and journalism. I totally acknowledge that. But I also think that the kind of polarized environment, particularly on social media, fostered by the kinds of things you are pushing on X, actually helps this, makes it worse.
I don't think so. I think you're the problem, the media. And speaking of loathing, you're loathed far more than I am. And you don't seem to even realize that.
I think very few people know who I am relative to you, so I don't think I play in the same game.
The media collectively. I mean, you're hated. Do you even know that? You probably don't.
I like to think that I'm aware of my own personal shortcomings and The Economist shortcomings and our worldview shortcomings.
Yeah.
But what we stand for, as you know, is liberal values, traditional, classical liberal values, where we worry about concentrations of power and we believe in the individual and the dignity of the individual.
Total radical left winger. Well, let's be honest. And he's calling her out. Do you even realize how much people loathe you? They don't. They live in a bubble. They're in a little, as he explained later, a little cloister of elites where they just pat each other on the back and they think they're universally loved and respected. And notice how she blames him and social media for when the media gets it wrong. So it's Elon Musk's fault for when the BBC gets it wrong. Why, just going back to that other story, why would the BBC splice these clips together in an effort to make Donald Trump look like he was inciting an insurrection? Why not just play the tape straight? At one point, you'll see it in a second, Elon Musk looks at her and then he looks at the camera guy and he says, now don't cut this part out of the interview because that's what they do. Unless it's a live sit down or whatever. But that's what they do in the edit room. They put it together to make their enemies look violent or hateful or evil. That is... I know we've made this point a jillion times before on this program, but the reason it's worth repeating is because of how dangerous this is. We're living in the post-truth era. Truth, as the Bible says, truth fails. Truth is cast to the ground. And who are the ones that should be out front proclaiming the truth? Well, it should be me. What comes to mind first? The media. And then secondary to that, religion. People that proclaim the Bible or the truth of the Bible. Why isn't there more of that? Why is there so much disagreement when it comes to proclaiming the truth of the Bible? All scripture is given by inspiration from God. And yet, here come the theologians selectively choosing the passages they can go out there and proclaim. And then they're basically doing what the BBC does. Just splice it together and put together a message that you like. Instead of receiving what God said. Instead of getting the entire discourse, the whole speech, the whole sermon. Now, I'm a speaker. I'm a teacher. And you do have to pull things together. You can't cover everything in a half hour or 55 minutes. But if you're not honest, if you're selectively editing the message to fit within your worldview, that is a dangerous, dangerous tool. She says, you know, you've got more influence than me, so you know, I like to think of myself as honest. And I think I admit my errors. And he says, look, I'm speaking of the media collectively. Look at the power the BBC has, The Economist, CNN. I think it was George Orwell who said something like, never have we seen so many ignorant people with such powerful influence. Words to that effect. Look at how many ignorant people are influencing the thoughts, the actions of millions and millions of people. In one sense, she's right. If Elon Musk gets it wrong and 250 million followers see it, well, there you go. That's the age we're living in. But how many times have the media gotten it wrong? She's upset because Elon Musk says, look, Britain's headed for civil war. How dare you say that? Well, look at Britain. A mere shell of what it once was. And all this violence. And she just dismisses it. You know, the rape gangs and the Muslim violence aimed at whites. It's not as bad as you say it is. Well, then why have you been covering what is there and so obvious? Why have you been covering it up? Why don't you even discuss it? Listen to clip six.
No, I agree that the center of gravity in this country has shifted. Certainly the Democratic Party has shifted to the left. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people like Rupert Lowe.
Don't fringe right, please.
People
it's actually just normal people. It's just normal people. And and here are the principles. And tell me, which of these sound terrible? That we should have secure borders, that we should have safe cities, that we should have sensible spending. Which of those three are far right fringe? And I would like to just admonish you and the media for the absurd characterization of the far right. It is false and misleading and nonsense. Please keep this part in.
We'll keep all of this in. But
Now, he's right in the fact that the liberal left is going farther and farther to the left. And really, if truth be told, he's a traditional liberal. Now, at the same time, he's also said that we've written about it at the Trumpet. He said things about the far right, particularly in Europe, that are very disturbing. But here they go. Back and forth. It's kind of like I said on yesterday's show. are these the discussions we're going to be having when the bombs start dropping? Notice clip seven.
You have, what is it, close to 250 million followers on X.
Yeah, because
you say things like,
popular guy,
quote, civil war in Britain is inevitable, just a question of when.
On the current trends, yes.
I mean, when were you last in the UK?
A few years ago.
Exactly. So I live there. I'm there the whole time. That is nonsense.
You live out a cloistered existence.
No, I don't, actually. And the numbers also disprove what you say.
What numbers?
All the numbers about crime. London is a much safer city than any city in the United States. Violent crime in the UK is not where you think it is. In fact, it's coming down. You have painted, and because you have so many followers, so many Americans believe it, a kind of view that Europe and the UK are kind of, you know, overrun with terrifying Muslim immigrants. There's rape on every corner. There's a sort of civilizational destruction.
I haven't said any of those things.
Just not, well, you said civil war in Britain is inevitable. And
yes, if current trends continue, it is.
Why?
Well, if you have a large and growing, rapidly growing group of people whose beliefs are antithetical to Western beliefs, at some point there will be a reckoning. They will try to implement their views, and those who oppose it will oppose it, and that's what you call civil war. And obviously, this is the trend. And you absolutely do live in a cloistered existence.
the thing is, the same trend line exists here in the United States. He's right. He's right about the UK and the trend, where they're headed. And the media, they just don't want to hear it. They, if the violence is promoted by their side, they'll stand in front of the camera and say, there's no violence behind me. It's peaceful. Dangerous times that we're living in. Paul said it's a perilous time in these, the last days. Here he's saying, he says, if you have a large and rapidly growing group of people whose beliefs are antithetical to Western beliefs, at some point there will be a reckoning. But she can't see it. She won't see it. She won't see it when the flames start going up. That's the state of media today, the major media, the Western media, the legacy media, the regime media, as I so often call it. One more from this exchange, clip 8.
Yes, and one of Brussels,
too. Because the UK has actually been very good at integrating immigrants. The UK is very effective at doing that. There are problems. I'm the first to admit that there are problems.
Yes, there are major problems.
There are problems, but it really is not what you are describing to or suggesting to your 240 million followers.
I think it is.
And I think there's a problem.
No, I think I'm spot on.
We'll have to.
And that's why you have freedom of speech, or at least
allows people to say things that are wrong. But your point is not that you're not just saying I have every right to say what I want. You're saying, you know, I am right about Europe, and I really don't think you are.
Well, I think I am.
I think you will find that most people in Europe, or many people in Europe, don't think you're right about it. But let's come to that.
Yes,
but
because the media keeps ignoring reality.
I don't think that's true either. I really.
And they're
programmed
by the TV and conventional media.
It's a pretty amazing exchange. There's a lot of other stories I have in the notes. Israel's reaction to the U.S. nuclear deal with Saudi Arabia, as you probably know, they're not happy about it. The attacks now in the Persian Gulf brought on by the Houthi. Maybe we can come back to more of these stories next week. But I want to leave enough time for all of the additional video content that we have for you today on the show. We've got feedback from Fort Myers, Florida. That was just a few weeks ago on the Celtic Throne 2 tour. And then following the feedback from Celtic Throne, we'll run through this weekend's segment of World Watch and then conclude with my father's Key of David program from 1999. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. We appreciate you joining us on today's show.
Well, I was a little skeptical because I was comparing it with Lord of the Dance, and I was pleasantly surprised. I came back to tell George, A1, great show. Love it. Thank you.
Oh, I love it. It's crazy. Everybody's electric in there. Wonderful. Something I've never experienced before. The tap dancing is incredible and fast. It's probably the most favorite show I've been to. So, yeah, I appreciate it.
Absolutely phenomenal. Exceeded my expectations. We came here for my mom's 88th birthday. I looked at the reviews. Everybody said it was outstanding. So we come all the time. We see shows all the time. And it has blown us away. The cinema, the dancing, the talent, and the musicians and the I've never seen anything like it. And I've seen shows for 40 years. Come see it, it's phenomenal. And get yourself a sweatshirt. This is far more interesting. It draws you in. It's so much more engaging than Riverdance. Riverdance is phenomenal. This adds 2, 3, 4 more elements to it that just draws you in. Again, the musicians, the cinematography. Yeah, blow off Riverdance. Come to this.
Very much enjoy this show. High energy from the great beginning, right from the get-go. If you haven't seen it yet, you really ought to go. I think that is absolutely wonderful. Much better than what I expected it to be. And I don't know how the family's been doing, especially everybody coming from one place. And I think it's a great way to spend the summer vacation. for everybody out there. I wish you had more people here tonight. You deserve it. Good show.
Celtic Throne, number one show of all the Irish shows ever. Dynamic, inspirational, just phenomenal. And a lot of fun.
Great performers, and I can't wait to see them again when they come back.
Fantastic. Really, we're so glad we came. Beautiful costumes, beautiful. We could tell the company really likes each other, and it shows on stage. The choreography was wonderful. The whole show was really wonderful.
Absolutely amazing. Everything that you do, you're really athletes. And I imagine you have to work very hard to get where you are. Starting slowly and working your way up. Absolutely amazing.
Out of This World's better than any live stream I watched from Celtic Thrones. Nice seeing it live and just see the smiles and just see family and just, especially from people that come from broken homes and broken families, it's nice to see families together and just having fun and see the love and that they love each other and enjoying one another and brings out the best of, well, wants to make an old soldier cry, I guess. But I've got to hold those tears in. But it was awesome.
Absolutely amazing to see it live. I watched every live stream, and it was just a true blessing to see it and see what these kids are doing, the hard work and everything they're doing. It's absolutely amazing, and can't wait to see it again.
And just watching kids grow up to become young men and young women is amazing. Makes me feel older, though.
Communist China is stealing artificial intelligence technology from Anthropic, OpenAI, and other American companies. On July 16th, Chinese startup Moonshot AI released KimiK3, an open-source AI chatbot that matches or comes very close to the latest versions of Anthropic's Claude and OpenAI's ChatGPT. In February, OpenAI accused Chinese company DeepSeek of stealing its technology. In April, White House science official Michael Kratsios said China is running deliberate industrial-scale campaigns to steal U.S. AI technology. In June, Anthropic told Congress that the Chinese company Alibaba used 25,000 fake accounts to pull 28.8 million answers from Claude AI to train its own AI models. Stealing enables China to create advanced AI models much faster and cheaper, threatening U.S. national security. Analysts estimate that without the thefts, China would be about 18 months behind the U.S. in the best AI technology. It is now only 6 to 9 months behind. To learn more about how artificial intelligence fits in with Bible prophecy, read Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Gerald Flurry's article, The Unknown Future of Artificial Intelligence, and the August edition of the Trumpet magazine, All In on the AI Gamble. Two French Rafale fighter jets capable of carrying nuclear weapons joined two German Eurofighters on July 16th in a mid-air refueling exercise at Norvenich Air Base near Cologne. It is their first practical step toward joint nuclear deterrence. A French nuclear exercise planned for later this year will include German military personnel. A Franco-German Defense and Security Council convened July 17th. French President Emmanuel Macron said that the meeting adds a new dynamic to the creation of a powerful Europe which unites our strengths. But what France sees as greater security leaves a dangerous open door for Germany. Europe's quest for nuclear independence has been debated for decades. Bible prophecy indicates that Germany, leading a nuclear-armed European empire, including France, will play a major role in catastrophic end-time events. To learn more, read France's Deadly Ignorance About Germany. The U.S. will impose 25% tariffs on most Brazilian imports effective later this month, the U.S. Trade Representative's office announced July 15th. Once the new tariffs take effect, Brazil will become one of the most heavily tariffed major U.S. trade partners after China. This marks the first major move in the Trump administration's tariff strategy since the Supreme Court's ruling against its prior broad impositions. With the Internal Emergency Economic Powers Act now off the table for unilateral tariffs, the administration is invoking Section 301 of the Trade Act of 1974, arguing that Brazil's trade practices are unreasonable. Meanwhile, the European Union is offering Brazil a more beneficial partnership on critical minerals than the US or China. The EU signed a trade deal with Mercosur, which includes Argentina, Brazil, Paraguay, and Uruguay, on January 17th, which aims to create one of the world's largest free trade zones, covering a market of over 700 million people. Bible prophecies describe America being economically besieged by foreign enemies. America cannot be besieged unless Latin America and its maritime choke points are out of its control. That is why the late Herbert W. Armstrong forecast that the alliance between Europe and Latin America would strengthen. For more information on why God is allowing this to happen, read Germany Unites the World Against America. To learn more about current world news and how it relates to Bible prophecy, please visit thetrumpet.com.
The following is a special presentation of the Key of David program. Last week on the Key of David.
How can you have any purpose in your life if you don't know why you're here? Now, in those three colleges, Herbert Armstrong answered that question over and over and over again. And he wrote this book entitled Mystery of the Ages. And on the very front, the subheading is, did you ever ask yourself, who am I? What am I? Why am I? You are a mystery. The world about you is a mystery. Now you can understand. Now that is a unique book on this earth.
And now, Gerald Flurry concludes his series on true education.
Education is not to give you knowledge. If it's true education, it's to build character within you, the very character of God. And yet, how many people really know that today? Education is certainly losing that war. If you want to look at what they're saying, let me read to you something about Friedrich Nietzsche, who really is the one behind their killing history today, the killing of history. And the 11th edition of the Encyclopedia Britannica wrote this back in 1911, and I don't think you'd probably read it today in that encyclopedia, I'm not sure, but I'll tell you this, it should be there today. His revolt against the whole civilized environment in which he was brought up is the keynote of Nietzsche's literary career. This was written in 1911. So his life was really based around revolt. And his teaching, though, today is getting people to look upon history as myth. Now, let's see if you think we ought to listen to this man. His revolt against Christian faith and morals turns him into a proudly atheistic free thinker and preacher of the new master morality, which transposes the current valuations, deposes the Christian virtues, and incites the other man ruthlessly to trample underfoot the servile herd of the weak, degenerate, and poor in spirit. That's what they should do to you if you don't agree with them. Not very nice people. Not very nice people. But notice this, they said, declared hopelessly insane. He remained that way until he died in 1900. Now this man who is teaching so many people today died hopelessly insane. And that began at the age of 44 and continued until he died. And education will listen to him, but they won't listen to God. Now that makes me a little angry. They will listen to an insane man. Now, they wouldn't view it that way, but I would. By their fruits you shall know them, Christ said. By their fruits. You'd better look at their fruits. Don't let somebody like that teach you. Look at the fruits of his life. And if he doesn't have fruits, don't believe him. This encyclopedia said this: Nietzsche's writings must be understood in their relation to these circumstances of his life. In other words, he went nuts, and you'd better be careful listening to him or what he taught. Reasoning, you see, was supreme to him. But what kind of a life did he live? Here's Leo Tolstoy, a great, great writer. I think he was the greatest novelist that ever has lived, personally. And yet, he didn't know why he was here on this earth. And he said, I can't possibly live because of that. Verse 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Why, sure, you look around, you see all this creation, God says, they're without excuse. You ought to be able to see that God created all this. He created your mind. You didn't evolve from an animal. That just proves that you are superior to an animal. If you go back to Genesis 1, God says he made every animal after the animal kind. Every animal. And then here came man, who was made after the God kind. Made after the God kind. Children of God, sons of God, if we want to be. Why, we're so exalted and we're so noble in potential that I can't even really describe it to you. Takes a lifetime to learn what glory there is in that. You look like God because God created you that way. And you have the potential to enter right into his family and live forever in beauty that's going to transcend this many times over. What a world God wants to give all of you young people if you will just be like a little babe or a babe and listen, not to men, but to God. And only men as they point you to God. Verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, and became vain in their reasonings or imagination, same word, and their foolish heart was darkened. They just entered into darkness. That's where man is today. Would you say if we're about to destroy every man, woman, and child today, destroy our own creation, our own human family, that we're about to destroy each other? Wouldn't you say that we really are in darkness? I'm telling you, young people, we don't need to be in darkness. Let's agree with David that if you don't believe in God, you're just a fool. You're just a fool. I'm sorry, but that's the truth. And the whole world is going to know it so very soon. They're going to know that. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Oh, yes, so wise. Oh, we're so exalted. Oh, we'd never allow you to teach about a creator God. Oh, no. We're too wise for that. That's barbarism. Oh, no, we could never allow that at this exalted institution, this great intellectual institution. No, we couldn't allow that here. And God says, yeah, professing themselves to be wise, they just became fools. Pretty harsh language, but that's the way God feels about it, and it's about time we learn that, because we're going to have to before it's over. God is going to have his way. Notice verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now here's the bad news, young people. You don't want to retain God in your knowledge. What is God going to do? Is he going to force you to stay here? No, he is not. He gave these people over to a reprobate mind, and you see it all around you today. He's not going to force this on you, but they didn't want to retain God in their knowledge. You see, we really were created subject to vanity. But if we can overcome that, we can fulfill our potential. And that's why you're here at this camp, not to have just fun and games, though we're doing a lot of that. But we're working very hard to give you true education, true education, education that will last you for all eternity. See, people don't like to retain God in their knowledge. Mr. Armstrong said, the right kind of knowledge is any knowledge, whether spiritual or material, that is based upon the foundation of the Word of God, upon this book. If it, again, of course we need knowledge, but we have to base it on this foundation. Base it on that foundation. He also wrote in his correspondence course, lesson 23, man is the highest mortal being God created on earth. The highest mortal being created on earth. We didn't evolve from animals. Forget that. It didn't happen, and nobody can prove it because it didn't happen. And you can prove it didn't happen. And they can't prove it did because it didn't. But he said, and his mind is the highest part of man's faculty, which above all else elevates him above dumb animals. You have a mind like God. And that puts you above all the dumb animals. For what reason? Why do you have a human mind? So God can add the Spirit of God to that, and then you can think like God. You're incomplete. You're not whole. He made you with a mind like He has, but you're not yet, you don't yet have His character. And that takes the Spirit of God. It's working with you, but it shall be in you, the Scripture says. And then you'll really get the full education that God wants you to have. Mr. Armstrong concludes, God intends that our minds be developed, trained, and used to His honor and glory. You see, if we just look at like the physical, well, we're not much above an animal if we do that. Think about your mind. That's what's going to bring you into the God family. Mr. Armstrong said, God's Word, His instruction, manual for mankind, is the foundation of all knowledge. It is not the sum total of knowledge. It is the foundation, the true premise, the starting point, the concept that directs the approach to the acquisition of further knowledge. See, God wants us to get more knowledge, but base it upon His knowledge. Let me read you another quote, which is very important, that Mr. Armstrong made about education. That's why, you see, he wanted to raise up a unique institution that was different, because he just couldn't teach true education unless he did that. He said this, it is generally recognized by educators that dangerous evils have leavened the educational system. Many of the educators see that, and they can't do anything about it. Mr. Armstrong could and did. And that's where you get the book, Mystery of the Ages. The sum of all that was taught at those colleges. He says, curricula generally have become wholly materialistic. Demands in scientific, technological, industrial, commercial, and professional fields have put the emphasis on the purely technical and intellectual at sacrifice of spiritual, moral, and cultural development on curriculum rather than on character. That's what I read to you about earlier. Curriculum rather than on character. That's where the focus should be, on character. And he said, on earning a living at the neglect of learning how to live. God wants to teach you how to live. And the more man gets educated, the more he degenerates. Contrary to what evolution teaches us. Look around. Be honest. People don't like to retain God in their knowledge, but look around and see what's really happening. We're about to kill ourselves. We're about to commit mass suicide. That's awfully degenerate when you do that. Look around and see what's happening. But that's what you see is happening in modern education too often. Too often that is what is happening. As our knowledge gets more and more sophisticated, he writes, we become more and more degenerate, contrary to what evolution teaches. So when Mr. Armstrong wanted to raise up a college, he said it has to be different. And he raised up three of them and taught what you read in Mystery of the Ages. And you won't find another book on this earth more important than except the Bible. Because it shows you how to understand that message in the Bible and takes all the mystery away. Why man? What is the purpose of man? What about the evil spirits? Are they here? Well, that's a mystery. The church is a mystery. The kingdom of God is a mystery. Israel is a mystery. This world is filled with mystery, but you can remove all that mystery. And that's what God wants us to do. Mr. Armstrong wrote, Ambassador College is not a factory of knowledge production, but of human character production. Because he understood why man were to be made in the likeness and the image of God and to become perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. Mr. Armstrong wrote, God Almighty is the sole authority for morals. Well, how do you know what is moral and what isn't? How do you know? Well, only God can show you. Everybody has a different view, and everybody has a different evaluation, and everybody has a different definition, don't they, in this world? Go and ask them. They all disagree. He said, God is working out a purpose here below. Sex and marriages are indelibly connected with that purpose. Yes, you young people are young. You think about sex. You think about marriage. But think about it God's way. God created sex. And what a beautiful thing it is. What a beautiful creation. And He wants you to understand it. And He wants you to be taught about it. His way. And not in a perverted way. And it will bring you such joy and happiness that it's hard to even describe it. Yes, indeed, God created it, but it has to do with marriage and it has to do with family. When you bring little children in this world, you want them to have a good life. I've just gone into a city where I saw little children all over the city begging. Don't you think those people need true education? I'm sick of cities like that. I'm sick of this world that tries to tell me what education is when everything they've done, it leads to failure. I'm sick of that, and I don't believe it, and I can prove that what I'm doing is right, and I'm not going to follow what they say. They don't have credentials to be teachers, not according to God, in most cases. Mr. Armstrong wrote, two of the Ten Commandments safeguard the marriage institution. The true gospel of Jesus Christ is concerned with the sin question and the ways of righteousness. The question of sex and marriage is intrinsically bound together with the sin question and the spiritual ministry of salvation. Yes, he says you can sin by how you use sex and by how you conduct your marriage and by how you deal with your family. You can sin. Or you can bring about great righteousness and help God create His very own family. And I guarantee you, young people, it'll produce happiness in your life because it's a law. It has to. It's a law. It must produce happiness in your life. And I don't see sadness here. I see happiness. Do you know why there's happiness here? Because of true education, which does believe in the law of God. It does indeed. He said the two commands relating to the right and wrong uses of sex, like the other commands, involve physical actions, but they are spiritual principles. Oh, what great good come from those if you use them God's way. And they certainly are there for a great purpose. Mr. Armstrong said this, and I tell you this is a statement that you should never forget. Please don't forget this. This was taken from his book on the new morality. He says, our downward moral plunge is rapidly becoming a greater threat than the hydrogen bomb. That downward moral plunge, down, 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 he believes is becoming a greater threat than the hydrogen bomb. You think it isn't dangerous knowledge? Oh, it wrecks lives. It wrecks lives. Sure, it can be fun to go out and fornicate, frankly. But is it going to be fun very long? No, it isn't. It's going to lead to a lot of sadness. Now, we've certainly had young people that have made mistakes, and you can correct those mistakes. But the more you do it God's way, the more joy and abundance you're going to have in your life. That's a promise from God. Christianity entered the Dark Ages and absorbed the pagan dualism of Greece and passed the label sinful on sex. Even the U.S. entered World War I in 1917. See if you can believe this. This is 1917. We entered World War I, and it was unlawful to publish, sell, or distribute any book disseminating knowledge of sex or instruction of its uses. All teaching on sex was forcibly withheld. Well, we teach you from Mr. Armstrong's book here on the missing dimension in sex. What's missing? What is the missing dimension about sex? That's what we teach you, and then you know how to use it the right way. And it'll bring such joy to your life. But do you know anybody that's had illicit sex bring unhappiness into their lives? You know you do. You know you do. It should never do that. It should always bring happiness and joy. And he said that all teaching on sex was forcibly withheld. Just 1917 in the United States, you couldn't even teach about sex. How utterly barbaric that was. But now, what happened? Well, yet today, this newly released knowledge has been misleading and damaging, far in excess of the former repressive ignorance. Now, anything goes. Hey, feel like doing it, just go out there and do it. No matter what God says, just do it. And what they're telling you is, you wreck your life. You go ahead, just wreck your life. It's okay, that's good. No, it isn't. They're going from one ditch to another ditch. Now look, why didn't they know better in 1917? Because they didn't get their true education based on this book, the Bible. And now they're going to the other ditch. You wanna go and join them? You wanna be taught by them? They don't know what they're talking about. All they know, it seems, is extremes. Let God teach you, and I'll guarantee you it works, and you can prove it in your own life. And he said, the wrong kind of knowledge is more harmful than ignorance. The wrong education is more harmful than ignorance, young people. Better be careful how you're educated. You were put here on this earth to be made in the image, or to be created into the image of God. No animal has that potential or ever will have that potential. They weren't created to do anything but live in this physical life. You were created to live for all eternity. But when you're young, it's awfully hard to think beyond tomorrow. It's awfully hard to do that. Solomon warned you young people about that, and he wrecked his life and may very well have lost his eternal life. But he had some good advice, and God recorded it. Ecclesiastes 12, in verse 12 it says, and further by these, my son, be admonished. Be admonished, you young people. Be admonished. Of making many books, there's no end. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. You could read books until you go blind. They're all over the place in this world. But is that what you want to do? No, God says through Solomon. Solomon knew, but he rejected what he knew. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole man. Fear God and keep His commandments, and you're going to be whole. And you're not going to be incomplete, and you're not going to be unhappy. You're going to have full joy, and God is going to give it to you. If God's church is doing what it should be doing, it is a teacher's college. Notice Hebrews 5 and verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. Talking about the people in the church who'd gotten away from God even after they had been taught. Then verse 12, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. I mean, they were getting so exalted and vain that you couldn't tell them the truth. They would get offended, they'd get angry, and they wouldn't listen because they got away from just the fundamentals. And Paul was saying, do you realize you ought to be teachers? Where God has put us here to be teachers. When Jesus Christ gets here, His bride, those people called out before His second coming, are going to be His bride, and they're going to teach the world true education. That's why we're being called out of season, as Paul put it. called out of season to be teachers to the whole world. Now that's quite an exalted calling. There's only going to be one bride for all eternity. And God says you young people can be a part of that. And you can have all these other things you see in the world, but you'll have them God's way, and you'll enjoy it to the very maximum. Verse 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word. Let's grow up so we can be taught what true education really is. Because what I'm saying can offend somebody, and it can offend some people. But it shouldn't. It shouldn't. But everyone that is that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. For he is a babe, the wrong kind of babe. He's a babe, a child in his understanding. And he's not humble like he should be. Verse 14, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age or mature. Even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Can you discern what is good and evil? Then you're truly educated if you can do that. Do you know what evil is? Do you really understand what it is, young people? Do you know what is good and what is evil? God says we ought to know. I want to show you a magazine that we're producing for young people. It's going to be produced four times a year, and we're going to entitle it True Education. And I'll tell you, one of the feature articles in the first issue this spring will be Conquering Spiritual Everest. God does want us to go out and have challenges and conquer, and we'd like to give this magazine to every young person on this earth. And we certainly will give it free to any young person who wants it, and it will inspire and educate and stir you to be the greatest possible success in your life. Because education is a way of life. I'm still educating myself. Every day I'm learning more and more and more. We're here to be educated, but to be educated God's way. And this magazine is going to educate young people the right way. We feel that we need to get more of that right education to you and do everything that we can to help you be a great success in life. That's what God wants for every young person on this earth. And He would give it to them if they would just allow Him to. He'd give it to every single one of them. So we hope that you'll write for this new magazine. And we'll send it to all of you just as soon as it is produced. And we'd be happy to give it to you free, as well as the book I mentioned, Mystery of the Ages. Until next week, this is Gerald Flurry. Goodbye, friends.